Joining me in the studio now, two lovely ladies, Nancy Teege and Chalk Schaefer. Nancy from the AARP Tax Aid, and Chalk had been an accountant here in Ketchikan for over 30 years. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
And of course, we're having you here today because it is the season.
It is the season,
yes.
And that would be tax season we're talking about. I think for a lot of people, filing taxes is kind of maybe boring, mind-numbing. What is it that is exciting about taxes?
I like working with people, and I like working with numbers. And this is, for me, is a real good combination. And folks are different, so it doesn't get boring.
That's real true. Plus, it's kind of, I think of a tax return as kind of being like a puzzle, and I like to put puzzles together.
Okay. Well, let's see. I was going to start by maybe just giving a little more of your backgrounds. Again, I said you're with the AARP Tax Aid. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about what that exactly is.
AARP Tax Aid is a grant-funded program through the IRS. And it's to AARP Foundation, which is the nonprofit of AARP. And we do free tax services for people with simple tax returns. Our version and their version might be a little different because they think of itemizing as being difficult and some of the other things that would be difficult, but yeah, real basic tax returns.
And how would someone know if their tax return is basic enough, I guess? Maybe hard.
Well, we'll review it if they bring it in, we'll review it. And we send people away, a lot of them. And a lot of them are surprised at what we can do, but a lot of them are think that we should be able to do a lot more than what we can. And we're there. We're at the library from 10 to 2 every Saturday. So they can just bring them in and we'll review them.
And Chalk, talking with you, a lot of your work is all sorts of clients, difficulties, basic filers, and also more complicated.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this being a small town, I just do a wide variety, businesses, humans, estates, trusts, just a wide variety of folks. I like having the variety. Again, it makes it so it's not nearly so boring as it might be if all you were doing was putting numbers into a computer all day. But there's humans attached to the numbers, and that makes it more fun.
Truly. Well,
that's the bigger part of what you're doing is the people part, which is why my tax aides are six to seven of us, and we've all done it. I've done it 29 years, and some of the other ones have been 10 to 15 years. And other ones say, we'll die doing it.
A lot of experience there, sounds like. I just wanted to remind people that this is a call-in show like we do most Mondays. So if you have questions, feel free to call in and ask. Or maybe you have advice that you've picked up doing your taxes that you would like to share. I wanted to remind people that usually we think of tax day as April 15th. This year, I know there's a holiday, DC holiday, so the deadline is actually April 18th. And of course, today's leap day, so we got a few extra days in here.
Yeah, that's pushing your luck.
Maybe you could talk about what it is that people can be doing all year round or starting now, maybe for next year, to get those good habits in the works.
Keeping records.
And having one place where you put all of your records so you don't have to, at the end of the year, try to remember where the special place was that you put business expenses as opposed to the place where you put charitable contributions. I started having a drawer and a desk, and I just threw all the tax things in there or possible tax things in there. And it, you know, January, February, open the drawer, sort the current year's things out, put them back in the drawer because I'll need them a year from now, and then go back through the things and organize them that way. Other people have file folders set up, and they will organize things during the year. You need to find a method that you will use and that will work for you. And it doesn't matter if it's something that you hear suggested here or you hear suggested on, you know, financial TV show or anything like that. You just need to find what works for you and that you can do and will do.
And save. And even save the things that you might think somebody might need. There, we get people who go, oh, I didn't think I needed any of that information. It's like, yeah, we do need that information. And so we now tell them, don't throw any of those, even just receipts away. Just save them. We'll throw whatever you don't need out.
What is it that most people, or you think is the most common thing that people don't have that they should, or maybe they got rid of? Receipts, you mentioned, for anything specifically?
They're charitable stuff, for sure. They forget, they miss a lot of the little charitable things that they do. Because, you know, a little $10 here and there will help and add up. But it could be, we find people don't have even their Social Security information. Why did you forget to bring that part? And or they bring us different things. But, yeah, for itemizing and for their charitable stuff, I think, are the key things.
And sometimes it's because they don't think they're going to be able to itemize. And you don't know when you start a year what the whole year is going to look like till the end. And so I try tell folks, save everything, because you just don't know, you know, how your financial life may change if you decide to do something different. If there's a tremendous medical crisis that comes up that's not covered by insurance, and maybe you're laid off work, so all of a sudden you can deduct medical expenses that you hadn't been able to before. It's better off at the beginning of the year just putting everything into the drawer, and at the end of the year, it doesn't take but just a short moment in time to figure out, yes, itemizing will save you money. No, it won't. And also, for folks under 65, there is also the deduction for sales taxes, and that's something most people don't know off the top of their head. And that's, again, income-based and based on the size of your family. So there's things that are deductible that you may not have specific knowledge of as an individual. So it's good to give it either to a professional or you yourself at tax time, figure out, oh, yeah, I should have saved those things.
I wanted to talk about maybe some of those deductions that people aren't thinking of or aren't on the top of their minds. I mentioned charitable deductions already.
The other one that I would say is credits. The education credits, we're sending people home now and saying, bring us all of your education receipts, because the education credit, depending on what receipts you bring us, may or may not, we can play around with those numbers a little bit. But you might be eligible for some of the credits that you may not realize you're going to be able to get.
Okay, so these are not deductions, but they're credits. Maybe, mm-hmm. what is a credit?
Credit offsets your taxes, the actual tax. So you would be able to, you know, you go through and you find out what your tax liability is. Then you can take credits against that.
Okay, so educational credit. Are there other credits?
Well, mm-hmm. There also will be times when the credit isn't going to work for you, but maybe, or work better for you. But maybe if you're self-employed and you've got some educational expenses, it may be that between mm-hmm. the savings and income taxes and Social Security taxes, that's going to be a better route to go too. So it's,
you don't know.
That has to be looked at and tried. Some of the other credits are for childcare that enables you either to work or to go to school. And unfortunately, that particular credit amount, or the amount you can use to get the credit, hasn't been adjusted for inflation. That was just set at a flat amount, so it's not worth nearly as much percentage, or, you know, compared to other things as it was when it was first enacted. But that's the child care credit is available. You need to have the name, the address, and either the social security number of a person who does it or the federal ID number if it's a business that is doing it, so to be able to take the credit.
Okay. I just wanted to remind people again, this is a call-in show. We're talking to two tax professionals here about the upcoming season. If you have questions for them or maybe want to share your own advice you've picked up along the way, number here is 225-9655. Nancy, you mentioned a little bit just people coming to the tax aid. Again, that's Saturdays mm-hmm. at the library, maybe being unprepared. What do you want people to know they should bring, need to bring, for someone else to look at?
They need to bring all of their tax, all of their pertinent tax documents. So W-2s, retirement statements, their 1099-Rs, just anything they've gotten that has, that's on the envelope says tax documents would be helpful, because we've been sending people home for those too. You've got to go get those. And the other thing people are forgetting this year is their 1095-As. They don't understand what their 1095-A is.
What is a 1095-A?
That's the statement that the marketplace is sending out that tells you how much credit you've had, what you paid, what your credit is, and for Affordable Care Act and for their health insurance. And we've got to go get those. So we've been sending them either out to the library to go, if they can remember their passwords, to go get those, or to go home and find them. But I think that's been probably the most confusing for everybody, is the Affordable Care Act forms this year, and to do them.
One other thing that I like people to bring in, if I haven't seen them before, or if it's been a number of years since I've seen them, is a copy of their prior year's tax return.
Yeah.
Make sure that they don't forget a child who's a dependent. If they've got, you know, interest from five different banks, it's a good reminder that we need interest from five different banks, or I need to know that you really closed that account and it was,
yeah,
if it's an interest-bearing account, when it was closed.
Our people, too, we want to see their Social Security cards and their ID. In this world, and right now, today, the text fraud is getting higher. Identity theft is getting real high. So we want to see those documents or their IDs and stuff, because that is, we've had people bring in their, we do the ARRI filing and it's instantly blocked because they've had their identity theft. Their identity stolen.
Make sure people are who they say they are.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody else has pretended to be that person and is filed ahead of time, then the real ones got, things
got
will slow down for them quite a bit.
And this is something you were saying is becoming more frequent?
Definitely becoming more frequent. And now, there's actually lines on your on the forms that your new tax ID number, because lots of people have had their identity stolen. Yeah.
Maybe we can talk a little bit about just doing taxes here in Alaska, here in Ketchikan. Is there something that's particularly unique, maybe if people are new to the state or new to the area, that they need to know?
Sometimes when I talk to people who are new, they are surprised and then pleasantly relieved that there's no state income tax return for humans. There is a corporate filing
corporate
required.
Filing.
But humans don't have to file a state income tax return. At this moment, we'll see what the legislature does with that. But so a lot of times people are quite pleased to discover that we only have to file a federal return.
So I guess maybe that's what they would need to know, that you don't need to do it.
Although you will need to, if you moved here partway through the year and you left a state that had filing requirements, you do need to file a tax return to cover the part of the year that you were living in the other state.
And then you would have to file that in that other state?
Yeah.
Right.
And do you do that here in Ketchikan? Mm-hmm. I guess help a lot of people file in other places?
We don't. We send people either out to get them done, or we have contacts in other states that we can send them to. But we don't do their state ones. But
yeah,
state ones are easy,
yeah.
Actually.
Depending upon the state, it may just be a percentage of the federal, or the state may have different filing rules, such as for the state or for the federal, you can deduct your state income tax the state income taxes. Some states then don't let you do that. Of course, you have to take that out. I think that's true for most states. But then a number of states allow you to put down either part of your federal taxes up to a certain amount, or the total amount that was withheld that shows mm-hmm. up on your W-2. So that varies from state to state. And yes, I do file tax returns for other states.
I was going to say, it seems we're getting a bit close, right, to the deadline. It is the season, and we talked a little bit about starting good habits for next year. Is there something, though, that can still be done at the end of this year, or things are in the order they're in, and it's time to file?
A lot of retirement plans you can still make contributions to for the previous year.
HSAs you still can.
Yeah, the IRAs, traditional IRAs and Roth IRAs have a deadline of the filing date, April 18th. Doesn't matter if you have an extension or not, that's the final deadline. And then there's some kinds of retirement plans that needed to have been set up last year, but you can contribute to those until your extension expires, and those KEO plans are like that. And then there are some that you don't have to set up ahead of time, and you can put into them and set them up until the final extension deadline, which is in October 15th. So there's a variety of things that you can still do, and employers' pension plans that ended with
the year,
the end of the year. But yeah, it's yes, there's still things you can do.
Not too much, but a little bit.
And for some people, if your income is low enough, there's also credit available for contributions to a retirement plan or an IRA of some kind. Or mm-hmm. any, yeah.
That's my crowd. We do get those.
And maybe just to talk a little bit about the tax aid. I know it's AARP has been putting it on, but it is open to everyone. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's open to everybody. You don't have to be an AARP member, and you don't have to be over 60 or 50 or be any. There's no age limit to it at all. We're trained in all ages.
And so. Just to help out with those simple returns, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought about something else that surprises people is that when they've lived here long enough to get an Alaska permanent fund dividend, frequently the children will either have to file their own tax return to report that, or it can be included on mom and dad's income tax return, so that is taxable income when the permanent fund is high enough.
And that surprises people, I guess, who are filing that just didn't consider including that, or?
Well, if
the children,
or if they've lived in another state and their kids never had enough income, it doesn't necessarily register. Oh, now my child has to file a tax return, or this income has to be reported somehow.
Yeah, I had a grandmother who was had her three grandkids living with her, and she's like, "We have never filed that. We don't have to file that." And I was like, "Oh, yes, you do, because the kids will get a surprise later in life with a tax lien."
I guess that brings to some broader tax questions maybe we can end with. Just why we are filing taxes in the first place. Where is all this money going? What happens if you don't file? Why do we do this all?
What happens when you don't file depends upon whether or not you need to file, if your income's high enough or not to need to file. And the limits for children and other people who are the dependent of somebody else is significantly lower than it is if you are your support yourself. And there's a difference as to between whether or not you have W-2 income only or if you are self-employed, because there are the Social Security taxes on self-employment are owed once your profit from your business is $433. Anyway, it's just easy to say over $400. And if you've taken in $10,000 from your self-employment, it probably would behoove you to file a tax return and show on Schedule C that your profits are low enough so you really didn't need to file a return. And now I'm going off on a tangent, but one more thing. If you've sold some stock during the year, sometimes all that is reported to the Internal Revenue Service is the gross amount you received. And if that's high enough, so you should be filing tax return, even though you know you've got losses on all the stocks. The government doesn't necessarily know that, until you have filed a tax return and put down the selling price of the pretend $10,000 I just gave minus the cost of it, because they do not necessarily know the cost of the stock to you. And maybe you did pay $12,000 for it, so you've got a $2,000 loss. You ought to file the tax return so you could. The government knows that there's something to go with the $10,000 of income. Otherwise, you'll get a letter.
That's really good advice, because the government does not know what is going on in your personal life, contrary to what everybody thinks. But they don't know that, and it's nice to have it all put into one place. The other thing, there's another reason to file in for lower income people, is because there's a lot of programs that require a tax return to be able to get your benefit. So you may not have anything to file. You might just be getting Social Security, but there will be a requirement to get grant or housing or something, and they'll want a tax return. So it's kind of your filing informational tax returns.
And, I mean, if someone hasn't been filing, you can always start, right? I think maybe people would be afraid to start, surely, if you hadn't had any experience before, which is what you ladies can help with, surely, in your personal accounting and the AARP tax aid. I think we've covered a lot about the season, the tax season upon us. Is there anything else you wanted people to know or take away from our brief conversation?
If you're not going to be able to get all your paperwork together by the 18th of April, you should file an extension. And if you're going to owe money, you should pay as much money as you can. Get as close as possible with an estimate to what you're going to owe, because penalties and interest start being charged the very next day.
And that's April 18th that they start getting charged, so you really want to get that money in there.
Okay. Thank you, ladies, for joining me this morning. Again, Nancy Teagee and Chalk Schaefer talking about tax filing season.
And thank you for inviting us.